Today on Real Radio.
You don't need to ask God what his will is for your life. That's already been revealed. It's in the Word of God, and he tells them, Micah does, he's shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And here it is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we bring you more of Pastor Jack's year-end messages. And as we begin a new year, a common question in the minds of believers is often, what is God's will for my life? Or what will the Lord put in my path? And so forth. Well, because we have access to God's written word, the answer, we find, is far more simple than a lot of us think. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a message called, This is God's Will for You This Year.
Today I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles as we come to the end of the year and turn to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Hold your finger there and get your pen ready, because today we're going to be talking about God's will for you and I in this next year ahead. God's will. And I thought it'd be a good thing to pause and to consider this. People are inevitably going to be asking, what's God's will for my life? By the way, I mean this with all affection. I don't mean it in any sarcastic or derogatory way. When somebody says, I want to know what God's will is for my life, I appreciate the request. It warms God's heart that you would ask. But just know this, God's will for your life has already been revealed. It comes as a shock to some people. God's will has already been revealed for you. It's incumbent upon you to find it, to discover it. And that's no more true than it is in Micah 6, verse 8. The nation had been wandering from God. The nation is wanting to get back with God, but at the same time embracing an apathetic, lukewarm kind of faith in God. And they have some questions, and they're wondering, and God's going to answer them. And you may come to the end of this year and the beginning of a new year with thoughts about, man, I don't want the new year to be like this past year. And yet I've had some of you say, I don't see how the next year could be any better than this last year. And no matter where you may find yourself on this moment of marking, as we are about ready to turn the calendar, the amazing thing is that God is into this kind of stuff. The Bible says he has set the seasons and he has determined the years, and that he's given us these markers in our minds. God wants us to both look back and to look ahead. And we need to do that today. So we're looking at this message entitled, This is God's Will for You This Year. Now, keep your Bible open. You don't need to turn anywhere, but I'm going to ask you to take your pen and write these reference verses and points all around your margins of Micah 6, 8. Number one, concerning the year ahead of us, write down Psalm 65, 11. Psalm 65, 11. There the Bible says, the psalmist is speaking to God, and he says, you crown the year with your goodness. By the way, the word implies this, that you crown, meaning he's always faithful to do this. You crown, you're faithful to crown the year with your goodness and your past, that is, they have and they shall drip with abundance. Friend, write that down. Psalm 65, 11 is a promise for you with this year ahead. God says, I will crown your year with goodness. This is the word of God to you. This is God's will to your life. So you take this. You know, listen, I mean this. I believe that if you are an honest skeptic this morning, if you are an honest doubter today, and you take that verse and you say, God, if that's true, I'm asking you to do that in my life. Prove yourself to me, God. I believe God will answer you. Let him show himself to you. But believers, Christians, God's made you this promise. You can expect your year to be crowned with God's goodness and your paths to drip with abundance. Now, what does that mean, abundance? It means that God has predetermined for you his perfect will, and that is a good thing. Abundance meaning what? It could be anything. Abundance meaning of opportunity. Abundance meaning of peace. It could mean of ministry influence. It could be prosperity to some degree, of health, or of a job. It doesn't matter. The cool thing is, it doesn't have to matter. It's for God to deal with in your life. He's made you this promise. And so listen, you may lose your job and have tremendous health. I don't know. You may have had a walk with God, but it's going to be compared to nothing like the walk you're going to have with God in this year ahead. It's not for us to define. Also, mark this down, because you know every year comes with a mixed bag of emotions for us. How are we going to approach it? Some people worry. You know, you go down the shopping centers, you go through the grocery store lines. It's the same every year. It's been like this since I was a kid. All of these knucklehead magazines have got these predictions for the year ahead. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me every year Elvis is going to appear. Have you noticed that? I mean, that just seems to be just a constant thing. But all of these predictions are made, and I actually see people buying them. Ooh, look at them. Wow. Hey, you know what? Why don't you save your money and get a free Bible from us? Take it home and read it. At least God fulfills what he promises. Okay? And listen, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, there the Bible says, "Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended," says Paul, "but one thing I do," and this is a great year-end, year-beginning verse, "forgetting those things which are behind," that's that, putting this year behind us, "and reaching forward to those things which are ahead," verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What a great verse for the new year. Philippians 3, 14, press ahead. And we're going to talk about that today, pressing ahead with the year that's before us. So here we are, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." This whole verse, as we begin to look into it, number one, the verse itself, the answer given to God, to Micah, to the nation, assumes a question. And the question that people were asking is, how do we get back to God? And they made this fatal mistake that you and I often do. We're rigged this way emotionally. And we've got to fight it. I don't know about you. I think I do know about you, because we're kind of in this together. I'll pick on me for a moment. I've got to fight this. I've been a Christian a long time, but I still have to fight this. There is this thing that if I just pray longer, or if I witness to more people, or if I do more spiritual stuff, that there's some form I feel acceptable to God if I hadn't done those things. Do you know what I'm talking about? And that's wrong, by the way. It's not good. And I'm very prone that way. I'm very, very self-disciplined when it comes to that, to the point where it's not a good thing. Again, I don't know how you are, but I have a tendency to be like the children of Israel were at this moment when they came and they said, "We've erred, but what do I do to get right with God?" Have you ever been like that? What do I do now to get right? And religions and cults capitalize off of this part of human nature. Ah, this is what you do. You give us $1 million, you jump through 50 hoops, you crawl on your belly across broken glass, and then we'll give you a smiley face. And if you get 10 smiley faces, then you reach your status of acceptability. You know what I'm talking about? God's not in that. The flesh is into that. Religion is into that. God's not into that. The nation cries out. In fact, look at the preceding verse, by the way. It's rather alarming. Micah 6, verse 7 says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?" Church, what do you think the answer is to that? If you wanted to get back to God and you killed 10,000 rams, would God be pleased with that? Nope. 10,000 rivers of oil? Is that what? Does God want all my money? Does he want all my oil? Nope. "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Should I do what all the pagan nations have taught us, that because I've sinned, I offer up my firstborn to make atonement for my sin?" Nope. "The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Nope. That's verse 7. The nation stands in panic. They're on the threshold of maybe a new year like we are. But they want a new start. What's the answer? He has shown you. Look at verse 8. He has shown you. The answer's already here. The word is in the past tense. It's done. God has revealed to you what he wants you to know. You don't need to ask God what his will is for your life. That's already been revealed. It's in the word of God. And he tells them, Micah does, he's shown you. Can I add this? He has shown you already. Oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? And here it is. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Three things I want you to mark down before we begin to kind of dissect this verse for our new year. You see the word shown? It means that he has made clear, to make a bold showing of it. God says in the Bible, that's what he's referring to, that the Bible boldly has given you everything you need to know what God's will is. That's what the Bible says. So it's for you and I to know. The second word here is good. The word good in Hebrew means the beautiful, the best, the better, the pleasant, the sweet, the welfare. You say, what do you mean the welfare? Welfare meaning this. The true meaning of the word welfare is that you would fare well. Did you know that? That you would fare well. So God says, listen, I've already given you everything you need. That you would fare well. That you would do bountifully. And I've shown it to you. And then the next word before we begin to dive into this is the word require. Listen to this. God is seeking. Notice, this is what God requires. He's seeking from us. It means that he's asking for. The word means that he's desiring this of you and I. God would never ask something from you that he has not already provided. Have you noticed that? He is so good. He doesn't ask you of anything that he has not given you. Isn't that a nice thing to remember of God? Whatever he says, I require this of you, it means that you've had it in your custody for a while. God is so practical. He is so good that way. So what does the Lord require? Isn't that the $64,000 question, as we would say? People would say today, what does God want from me? That's the cry of people around the world. God, they say, what do you want from me? And God answers. And here it is. Mark it down, number one. This is God's will for you this year, that you make the right decisions. God, what do you want from me? And God rends the heavens and says, make the right decisions, will you? Think about that for a moment. What grief have you and I suffered in our lives? Most often, it's at our own hands. We have so many self-inflicted wounds that we've perpetrated against ourselves. So many times we've made the wrong decisions. Well, I tell you, I just went from one bad decision after the next bad decision after the next bad decision, and then I became a Christian. I'm convinced at the course I was going, I would have been dead not long after the age of 19, but God came into my life. And when you start reading the Bible and finding out what God wants and what God says, you can start making the right decisions. He is so good that way. So he says here in verse 8, to do justly. And you ought to circle the word justly because it means this. It means to execute the right judgment or to do the right decision making, to make the right decision or to exercise the proper or righteous judgment. So number one, realize this, that God has the answer to give you when it comes to the questions you will have this year. Listen, church, are you guys with me? You're so quiet this morning. You guys okay? As the year advances upon us, you're going to have questions that come up at work, in your family. You're going to have to make decisions. God knows the answer that's best for you. Please hear me. I want to shout this out. I've got an issue. I've got a decision to make. I've got a direction to take. I don't know what to do. Calm down. God knows. Watch. He actually has the answer in his possession. You don't have to call friends, tweet anybody. You don't have to call, watch Jeopardy to get the. You don't have to go online to ask the local guru or whatever or crystal ball person. Are you kidding? You don't need the horoscope. You don't need the zodiac. No, you know what? All you do is take the issue before God because He already knows the answer. All year long, God's going to know the answer to the question that arises in your life. So you remember that. God knows the answer. He has it. The issue of the life that you're living, the question comes up. God has already anticipated the issue because He already has the answer. And this is part of our Christian living. I don't know about you, that brings me comfort. My thing is to discover the answer. You know, this is kind of personal, but if you come to our house right now, our front door, up until a few days ago, our front door was painted Federal Blue. It's an old colonial color. It looks awesome. Federal Blue. It's not that color anymore. Why? Because Lisa and I are having the house painted. Why? Because it's falling apart. It's way overdue. And so when you come to the door, we've got, I'm learning a lot here now. We have six different areas of the door painted with swatch. The door's turned into a six-paneled swatch of color. See, I'm in touch with my feminine side. I'm getting this. And one is one color, one is the other color. And you know, the colors look awesome on computer. And then you go down to the paint store and they give you the samples and it's, I don't know. But okay, we'll take them back. And then you put them, the painter puts them on the doors and he wants us to make a decision. I get that part. But we're looking at it and it's like, I don't know. It didn't look like that in the magazine. It didn't look like that on that house on the TV. And all of these different things, and we're still not exactly sure about the color. And so our front door looks like a gigantic gift wrapped with multicolored paper, you know? And you look at it. What does that door speak of? Indecision. Different directions. Not sure. Trying to make up our minds. Guess what God knows already? We don't know. Exactly. God already knows the color the door is going to be. We're going to have to pick a color, and the color we pick is the color God knew it was going to be before we've even concluded. I like that about our God. Nothing can come to your life without it being seen first and filtered by your Heavenly Father. He sees it all. Realizing that God has the answer, it's pretty exciting to realize that. Jesus said this concerning our decision-making. He used an interesting word that we need to be reacquainted with rightly in the Bible. In John 7:24, Jesus says, "Do not judge according to appearance." Interesting word, because Jesus never said, "Do not judge." He says, "Don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Godly decision-making. That's what it means. Did you know that all of us as Christians are to judge with righteous decision-making? We're never to condemn anybody. That's reserved for God. But the Bible says that we are to exercise judgment biblically based. One old scholar, Albert Barnes, put it this way, that we are called to make God-like decisions in our lives. That's a great statement. We are called to make God-like decisions. What does that mean? That means we let the Word of God make the decisions for us. That means we choose, we conduct ourselves, we speak, we say, we decide based upon what the Bible has to say. In all of that dynamic, our emotions get involved. We feel things. It's something that's bouncing around our head. And by the way, while I'm on that topic, I should probably mention this. We as people, I am more strict with me than I am with you. I'm harder on me than I am on you. And that's okay. That's okay. That's self-examination. We are commanded in Scripture to do that to ourselves on a daily basis, but there's a fine line. Before I get to the fine line, there's a flip side. The flip side is if I'm not like that, there's a tendency to excuse everything I do and blame you for everything. That's a form of insanity. That's not healthy. Everybody's wrong but me. The country's wrong. But me. That's crazy. God says of us that we are to examine ourselves to determine whether we are in the faith or not. Now, some of us do that to a greater scale than the other. And because I came from a very, very straight, hard line of life and thinking, I have a tendency to impose upon myself very, very strong restrictions. Here's the danger with that. If you're like this, self-examination's fine. The moment it crosses over to the true meaning of introspection, that's not fine. Introspection is when you take your eyes and you look inside of yourself and you stay that way. See, self-examination is like this. God, I want to live this year for your glory, and I want to do great things for you, Lord, but I have often failed miserably, Lord, and these are the weaknesses of my life, and these are the areas where I need strength and I need help. That's all very good, church. We should all be doing that. The moment I go from that to, boy, am I a loser of a Christian. You know what? I'm just going to go sit over here in the corner. Listen, I'm not going to sign up and do anything for God because I know I'll fail. I'll raise my hands and I'll read my Bible, but because of fear and I'll mess stuff up, I'm just going to just sit down here and I'm going to wait to the end. I'm just going to die of old age or for the rapture to come. I'm just going to wait. You know, that's introspection. That's when we look inside and it goes dark. That's the source of spiritual depression. We get our eyes off of what God can do through a broken vessel, which is a great thing. We get our eyes off of God. We put our eyes on ourselves and say, well, I know I'm saved, but I can't be used by God. That is unbelief. You're saved, but you're full of doubt. Be very careful. We all walk that fine line when we begin to excuse ourselves out of the scene. God can't use me. You know what word, by the way, is a modern-day word? Timidity. Timidity, according to the Bible, is a sin. We are saying God can use everybody but me. God can do whatever he wants to do through others, but not through me. We are to look inside and to see our weaknesses and then turn around and say, but Lord, you're great and I'm willing. Here we go. And move forward with that. That's making the right decisions. God's got the answer. We self-judge, and that's a good thing. But you got to be careful that you don't go dark and move into that area of spiritual depression. Secondly, we see this, knowing that God wants to give you the answer. He not only has the answer for you this year to come, but he wants to give you the answer. Listen, I'm convinced of this in my life. This is one reporter's opinion. But I have found out in my life that God always wanted to answer my prayer more than I wanted it to be answered. I have found out that he's wanted to give me the answer more than I wanted to receive it. I wanted it, but I didn't realize to the degree he wanted to give it. He's very generous this way. That you and I would make the right decisions this year to come, knowing that God wants to give you the right answer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness. God wants that out of your life. Do you want it out of your life? Does someone's name make you bitter?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called This is God's Will for You This Year. It's a straightforward message that looks at passages that speak of exactly that, what the Almighty wills for His people and why. We'll continue with more of This is God's Will for You This Year on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we are coming to the end of 2015 and welcoming in the new year. And if you're thinking about a worthwhile New Year's resolution, here's a good one for you. The One-Year Bible. We at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the One-Year Bible at the start of every year. And we invite Real Radio listeners to join us. It really is a terrific way to hide God's Word in your heart, as the psalmist put it. You can purchase your own one-year Bible at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.